the evening. Well, thank you, Lord, for your word. We're going to read tonight from Ephesians chapter 1 and 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "Wherefore, I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you." Thank you. I'm going to try to make it through on the wireless. Oh, I think I found the spot. It's right there. Testing. Testing. We'll try to make it through on the wireless because I like to use my hands for a lot of things. But if not, we'll switch over to the cordless. They're both wireless. This one is just strapped to my head, and it's easier. Praise the Lord. "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may not give unto you a spirit of wisdom, and may not reveal anything to you, so that you would have no knowledge of him at all on the earth." What? This is... "That the eyes of your understanding would be totally darkened, that you may never know your purpose on earth, that you may not know what the hope of his calling is, that you would never receive an answer to prayer. In your darkest hour, you would be left alone, crying out to God, but just hearing crickets." Isn't that what verse 18 says? "And that you would never know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, and you would never experience the exceeding greatness of his power, which is not towards you at all," because that passed away with the last apostle, "who believe according to his power never working." Are you sure? Because Paul actually wrote about our generation by revelation. And he said in 2 Timothy that we would hold to a form of godliness, but we would deny the power of it. We would hold to a form of godliness, but we would deny that God would actually talk to me while I'm on the planet. We would deny that I could receive revelation knowledge from him. We would deny that we could actually have a supernatural relationship with him at the place, the same way Jesus did, the same way Peter did, the same way Paul did, the same way Moses did, the same way Joshua did. We would deny that, and it would kind of be couched in this, "We're not worthy. We're not good enough." That was only for those people. That we would hold to a form of believing in Jesus, but we would deny that what he did and how he taught the 12 is possible for us in 2020. No, I believe that we can have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him in 2020. And I believe that the eyes of my understanding, talking about my spirit, I believe that the eyes of my understanding could be enlightened so that I would know what the hope of his calling was. I don't have to walk down in darkness here on the earth during my tour. I can see him in my spirit. I can hear him in my spirit. Oh, where's the ears? I can know what is the exceeding greatness. I hope I don't stab myself. I can know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards me because I believe. And I can operate in faith down here. Now, we said this last week as we introduced this subject, that we want to get to a place in our life as the sons of God that we really operate the same way Jesus trained the 12 to operate, and the same way Jesus trained the 70 to operate, the same way the 120 in the upper room operated, and they went and turned the world upside down based on the training that Jesus gave them. And I've said to the Lord, "Lord, could you train me the same way you trained them? Because for some reason, they got a lot better results. Could you train me the exact same way that you trained them? What did you say to them? What did you tell them? How did you teach them? Could you let us know here in 2020? Because some things have been lost in our generation. There's a lot of people on the planet that don't believe that God will actually speak to you. And that if he does, that's weird and you're weird. Well, doesn't the Bible say that my sheep know my voice? Didn't Jesus say that in red letters? I know them and they know me. And they know my voice. And guess what? He knows your voice. And the voice of a stranger, we won't follow. Over in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the sons of God, it's normal for us to be led by the Spirit of God. And it goes on in verse 16 to say, his Spirit bears witness with our scriptorians. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So in laying the foundation of what we're talking about tonight, God is a spirit. And in order to have a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, you're going to have that relationship on his level. It's going to be on his terms. He said in the book of John to the woman at the well, he said that someday, this day is truly coming, that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, not mentally and physically, but in spirit and in truth. So if you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to have a conversation with God, the first and most basic thing to know is that you won't have a mental relationship with him. It won't be his spirit talking to your mind or his spirit talking to your body. But the number one way that God talks to us is his spirit to my spirit. Did you know that your spirit is an amazing thing? Now, unfortunately, everyone on the planet, when we're born with a dead spirit, a spirit that doesn't function. And so we're only left to operate with our physical senses and with our mental ability. But when we're born again, the spirit man on the inside of us comes alive for the first time. It's like a car starting, sitting out near your yard. Anybody have a car sitting out in your yard here in Samoa that doesn't work? You know that car? It's like a car starting. It's got an engine, but it's never run. Now you've got a spirit, but it's never run. But when you're born again, you're made new on the inside, and it's just like starting a car. But unless you're taught spiritually how to drive, you could spend your whole life just in park, spiritually, never moving forward, never going anywhere. But you're born again, praise God, you're going to heaven. You're born again, but you're never taught how to function spiritually down on earth. But you're a multidimensional person. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, and Paul's praying for us, that our whole body, spirit, soul, and body would be sanctified wholly. Well, that means there's three parts of me. And I know all about how this body works. I know all about how this mind works. But where I really need teaching is how spiritual things work. Spiritual things. So we're talking about being a son of God on the earth, a daughter of God. And we're going to say this just to keep everyone very comfortable. Sons and daughters of God should be able to hear their father when he speaks to them. I think I'll switch over to this if that's okay. Is it on? All right. Sons and daughters of God should be able to hear their father when he speaks to them. Now, you've got a father, uncle, maybe grandpa that raised you. When your grandpa, father talked to you here on earth, did you hear their voice? Did you know their voice? Could you pick their voice out of a crowd? I know my mom and dad are here, and they're there in the back row. My mom has a funny way of calling me. She says, "Hi, Pat. It's Mom." And I've known her voice for 57 years now, and I don't need anyone to tell me, especially my mom, "Hi, Pat, it's Mom." "I know, Mom." I could pick your voice out of a crowd of a million people, right? Well, the same thing needs to be true for us with our spiritual father, our Father God, because when we're in trouble, and we've got the voice of our flesh going on, and we've got the voice of our mind going on, and maybe we've got the voice of people in our life telling us, "We think you should do this. We think you should do this." We need to be able to move the voice of the flesh to the side and move the voice of the mind to the side. And, "Sorry, Auntie, just let me think a little bit here." Move the voices. There are many voices in the world. Sometimes too many voices. Be able to, I'm thinking of a movie, you know, where they have those big computer screens that are see-through, and like on the Avengers, and they're like this, and like this, and like this, and like this, and then they press the button, and it comes up. That's what you need to be able to do. Move the body over, the flesh. "I'm hungry, I'm tired, I don't feel like doing that. Why?" Move that to the side. Move that to the side. Move the mind to the side. Move everyone that's telling you what to do to the side. And just tune right in to the voice of the Holy Spirit. "All right, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And to be able to hear him when he talks to you. David found out that being able to hear the word of God, "I rejoice at your word as he that has found a great spoil." So let's read this again quickly the right way, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's talking about your heart, your inside man. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So we're supposed to know things as Christians. We're supposed to know where we're going and know what we're doing. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Sons of God and daughters of God should be able to hear God when he speaks to them. I was thinking about why this book was written, and there's so many what we call Bible stories, right? My mom and dad read me these Bible stories from as young as I can remember, and I believe I accepted the Lord when I was 2 years old. But I remember hearing the Bible stories, and I would think, "Wow, that is amazing." But I would never apply it to myself. Do you know why the story of Moses at the Red Sea is written in here? It's to prove to you, it's historically documented, that this happened, that there was a man on earth and he was having the worst day of his life. And he was backed up against the Red Sea. The best army in the world is about to pounce on them. He's got 3 million people yelling and screaming at him. And probably wanting to kill him. But that story is written in this book, documenting it, that when he called on the living God answered him right away. And he was able to hear the answer right away. He was able to understand what God wanted him to do. God was making a way. God was showing him what to do down here to win this battle down here. And Moses was able to hear, "Why are you crying out to me? Hold your rod out over the water. Tell the people to move forward." That didn't happen in a physical voice.
that everyone else there heard. 3 million people did not hear that transaction. But that was God speaking to Moses from God's spirit to Moses' spirit. And he was able to hear it. He was able to understand it. He was able to believe it. He was able to act on it. And that day, he didn't just save himself. But because Moses had a relationship with God at this level, and he was developed spiritually to this level, he didn't just save himself. He saved everyone. And what Moses received that day was a born of God answer. Not a born of Moses answer. Not a me trying to figure it out answer. Not a me try this, maybe we'll try this. Maybe we'll try this, maybe we'll try this. But this answer was a born of God answer that Moses was able to hear, perceive in his heart. Moses was able to act on down here on earth. And as soon as he held that rod out, God moved and that water stood up on two sides and they crossed over on dry land. Thank you, Lord. Would you like to be able to hear God at this level? So like I said, why is this story even in here? This story is in here as a historical account and as proof for every man, woman, and child that will ever walk on the planet that the same way Moses cried out to his Father God and got an immediate answer and help in time of need. Well, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's no respecter of persons. If you cry out to God the same way Moses cried out to God, God will answer you the same way he answered Moses. That's why these stories are in this book. It's evidence that God is for us, that God is with us. When we call on him, he will answer us. He will show us great and mighty things that we don't know, and he will lead us into victory every single time. 1 John 5:4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, be careful. I always thought that said whosoever is born of God, and I think you can probably slip that in there. But in this particular case, he's not saying whosoever, he's saying whatsoever. So what are you talking about? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The Amplified says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. So sons of God can hear the voice of God. And isolating that voice above all others is very important. Because when it's your dark day, when you don't know what to do mentally or physically, you need a born of God answer. You need an answer from heaven, right? See, whatsoever is born of God, an answer that's born of him will overcome the situation. And this is the thing that we put our faith in. This is the victory. This is the way that Moses won. Hold your rod out over the water was a born of God instruction that would cause him to win, not just for himself, but for the entire nation. So I don't want born of Patty ideas. Born of my mom. Sorry, Mom. I don't want born of man answers. I don't want to try stuff. I don't want to guess. It's very clear where our victory answers will come from. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So Moses, as we said, he's having a 911 situation. There's no such thing as 911 then. They probably had a name for it. But in the middle, as we said, in the middle of 3 million people screaming at him, in the middle of trying to figure out mentally, well, if this all goes south, what we can do, there's 3 million of us, and there's probably, you understand, Pharaoh's army probably was not 3 million people. It was probably a good size army of the best trained military men in the world, but it was probably not 3 million against 3 million. Maybe they had 100,000 come out against them. And I'm just hypothesizing, I don't know. We can go down and snorkel down to the bottom of the Red Sea and we can count the chariots and figure out that way. My dad is here teaching history of the Christian church. And one of the things that he always assures me of is that the Bible is backed by historical fact, archaeological findings. These cities were real. The events were real. There are chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea. No? See, the Bible is the truth, and truth should have historical fact that backs it up. So I can imagine Moses, as these armies are approaching, that everything about him is trying to figure out what to do. In his mind, well, if God doesn't come through, we'll put all the men at the front and the women, children at the back. We'll sorry about that, you guys. Do you know how your mind will figure a born of your mind thought, a born of your mind plan? We can put all the strongest men at the front, can hold them off. We can begin to run around the side, and you develop a battle strategy in your own mind if God wasn't part of the picture at all. Thank God he's part of the picture in our lives. And you know what? He can always be part of the picture in your life. I'm so glad. Remember Jairus, when the servant came and said, Jairus, you don't need Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble God anymore. Don't trouble the master anymore. No, trouble God. The last thing you want to do is walk away from Jesus in the middle of your darkest day. Say, I don't need you anymore, Jesus. Oh, no. Jesus looked at him and said, fear not, only believe. We don't want to not believe in the power that is available to us word who believe on earth that Ephesians talked about. And power was available that day for Moses. But I just want you to understand the process. Your physical senses are screaming. You're ready to fight. The adrenaline is going. Your mind is thinking, how can we win this with our people? We're not trained warriors, but we're in pretty good shape. We've been slaves. Some of us are in really good, you know, you're trying to figure out how to win this battle physically. But God said, it's not by power, and it's not by might, it's not by your physical efforts, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, it's very important that this hidden man of the heart is the loudest voice in our life. And that when these kind of days come, we're not struggling to find the voice of God buried beneath our flesh, buried beneath our intellect, buried beneath, because we haven't talked to him so long or exercised spiritually, that even if he was screaming as loud as he could scream, we're not developed enough spiritually to pick up his voice. Moses could hear his voice that day. Thank you, Lord. So I'm sure just like us, we're amazing creatures. We're trying to figure out in our minds how to win the battle. We're trying to figure out in our flesh how to win the battle. But he removed all those other things that would hinder him hearing the direct orders of the living God, the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. He was able to isolate the voice of God and receive a born of God answer that would work on earth in this physical realm. And did he more than conquer the army of Egypt? Let's go over to Romans 8. Remember, we quoted Ephesians chapter 2, 18. It says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We have access to God by the Spirit. Notice it doesn't say by your mental or by your physical. We come to church to learn physical things so we can win battles at a whole nother level. We could win battles intellectually. We can win battles physically. But did Moses have to get a sword for this one? See, this is winning at a whole different level. Romans 8 and 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And the answer is, nobody and nothing. "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or the army of the Egyptians or peril or sword or corona?" What's the answer? No. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." I like that verse in the BBE. It's a little more clear to understand. It says, "As it is said in the holy writings, because of you, we are put to death every day." Because we're the children of God, this whole world system is trying to kill us, trying to get us. Because of who we are, the children of God, Pharaoh's armies, they're trying to kill us. "We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Verse 37. No, even though the whole world's system is against us and Pharaoh's army is trying to kill us, in all these things, we are more than they are. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor army, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or army or disease shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's look at this verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. It doesn't say in some of these things. You know, you win some, you lose some. That's not scriptural. The scripture says we win them all. I like that. More than conquering. What is that exactly? More than conquering. More than winning a war. More than taking a city. More than getting your wife and kids and stuff back. More than conquering, well, that word more than conquering or that phrase, it's hyper Nikeo. Actually, we could say hyper Nike. You know the sneakers. Everybody wants a Nike, right? Because that makes you a winner. Hyper means to go beyond, and Nikeo or Nike means to conquer, to prevail, to overcome, to overpower, to be victorious, or to win. So hyper Nike means beyond conquering. It means overwhelmingly conquer. And God is ready to set you up to be a conqueror more than in all of your battles for the rest of your life from this day forward. But what's the key thing? We need to be in a position spiritually that when he gives me the born of God answer, what I need to do to more than conquer, I need to be able to hear. I put my finger here because that's wrong. See, that's why I like the, because I could have slapped my own self. We hear things on the inside from God. God's spirit speaks to my spirit. His spirit bears witness with my spirit. My sheep know my voice. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, talking about physical eyes and physical ears. Neither has it entered into the heart of a man intellectually what God has prepared. But he reveals these things from his spirit to our spirit so that we might know mysteries, even deep hidden things which no one else could know unless God told you on the inside. No one else heard, hold your rod out over the water. But Moses did. Thank you, Lord. And he more than conquered the Egyptian armies that day. Thank you, Lord. More than conquering. So as we said, they could have turned around, braced, and defended themselves if they didn't hear a born of God instruction on what to do here. They would have reverted, downsized to operating physically instead of operating spiritually. They would have used their intellect and their physical bodies to win a war that the Lord won for them by his spirit. Not physically, not mentally, but by his spirit. And they could have turned, so 3 million people could have turned, and they could have said, choo! And they could have ran up and met the Egyptian armies and fight and fight and fight. And guess what? People would have died in the children of Israel's side. People would have died. They weren't armed. They weren't ready to go to battle. They're just a group of slaves that left and took everybody's stuff. But the battle could have gone that way, and they could have conquered that way, maybe. They could have won that way, but a lot of people would have died. There'd be a big mess. But the way God won the battle for them, man, did they have to lift a finger? Did they have to get their swords? No, in this case, there was no bloodshed on their part. There was no physical effort except tell the people to move forward. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, I would have been running in my Nikes for my hyper Nike experience. I love you, Lord, and I trust you that you're going to keep these walls of water up, but I'm going to choose not to walk. You know how some Samoans walk sometime? And the lava just is like. No, it's going to be. Did he more than win this battle? Yes. There's no bloodshed on their side. There's no one hurt. There's no one lost. They more than conquered the Egyptian army. But on the other side, I mean, this is a miraculous battle. Usually people get away. A few people escaped. In the movie, it's Pharaoh that's up on the rock witnessing his whole army going under the water. But in this case, the entire Egyptian army was lost under the water. That's more than winning. That's more than we could have done and figured out mentally. That's more than what we could have performed physically. For us to drown the entire Egyptian army, how are we going to do that? We'd have to hold them under the water. Right? See, this is more than conquering. Joshua at Jericho, did he more than conquer that city? Yeah, he got a born of God battle strategy, and he was able to execute the battle, and he brought the children of Israel into the promised land. Everyone from the city of Jericho, with the exception of Rahab and her family, perished, and they just moved right into the city. I mean, they were living in tents the day before, but now they got houses they didn't build. They got dogs and cats they didn't name. There's food in the fridge. Ah, just like the Lord said, that's more than conquering. I want to just give you some scripture. We also talked about Jesus' situation where the Pharisees were planning his murder. They brought to him a woman that was caught in adultery. And really, they're trying to kill Jesus in this, because if he says one word against the law of Moses, they have the right to pick up stones and to murder him and the woman. But he stooped down and he wrote in the dirt. I personally think he wrote 911. I'm just kidding. But during that time where they were pressing him for an answer. Now, what do I say here? Because if I say this one bit wrong, either the Pharisees will kill me and the doctors of the law, or the crowd that I was just teaching will kill me. So this is a very delicate situation. But the Lord gave him, his father gave him a born of God phrase. Whoever's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Everybody dropped their rocks and everybody walked away. Umalakes, no more. Ah. That was a born of God answer. Jesus said in John chapter 5:19, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do." What do you mean what he sees the Father do? Well, we're talking about spiritual principles. We say this here at Rhema with my body or my physical senses. I contact the physical realm, right? With your body, you contact the physical realm and operate in the physical realm. With my mind, I contact the intellectual realm. But with my spirit, I function in the spirit realm. And I hope that doesn't sound weird to you. With my body, I function physically. With my mind, I function mentally or intellectually. But with my spirit, I function spiritually. We can say it that way. It's a little easier to swallow. What do you mean, function in the spirit realm? I mean, when God talks to you, you hear him. That's what I mean. I don't mean, woo. So Jesus had this operating in his life. He said, I see things on the inside. I get messages from God on the inside. He shows me what to do, and he shows me what to say. Now, he is our pattern for life and for ministry. So the same way that God showed Moses what to do out at the Red Sea is the same way God showed Joshua what to do. God showed David what to do. God's showing Jesus what to do right here. He said, I only do what I see and I only say what I hear, and I'm getting this information from God's spirit to my spirit. Now, if he had to function that way on earth as a human being, how much more will we? Let me read this to you from the Voice translation. It says, the truth is that the Son does nothing on his own. All these actions are led by the Father. The Son watches the Father closely and then mimics the work of the Father. The Father loves the Son, so he does not hide his actions. Instead, he shows him everything, and the things not yet revealed by the Father will dumbfound you. He's going to show me even more. Let me read two more translations, the EXB. I tell you the truth, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing alone on his own initiative by himself. The Son only does what he sees the Father doing. What are you talking about? I'm talking about this. While Jesus walked the earth as a human being, God talked to him at a very high level. What level? At this level, I only do what he shows me, and I only say what I hear. I'm that connected, God's spirit and my spirit. And again, why are these things written? If it's written in here, it's historical evidence that the same access that Jesus had to God, the same access that Moses had to God, the same access that Peter and Paul had to God, we have access by one Spirit to the same living God while we walk the earth. The Son only does what he sees the Father doing because the Son does whatever the Father does. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows the Son all things. He's showing me things. He himself does, but the Father will show the Son even greater things than these, so you can all be amazed, marvel, and be astonished. The message Jesus explained, I'm telling you straight, the Son can't independently do a thing, only what he sees the Father doing. Now, where was he seeing the Father doing things? Was he going up to heaven at certain points physically while he was on earth? Well, we know he was transfigured on the mount. But it seemed that he had a relationship with God and right standing with God, that the fruit of that was he had an unbroken communication with God. He had unbroken communication with God living down here on this planet. He could hear God's voice just as clear as he could hear Peter's voice. He was developed spiritually. He was operating spiritually. John chapter 8 and verse 38. I just want to give you some quick verses so you can see that you hearing God's voice is normal. It's normal. Sons of God should be able to hear God when he speaks to them. John 8 and 38, Jesus said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Weymouth, the same verse says, the words I speak are those I have learned in the presence of the Father. Verse 28, I do nothing of myself, same chapter, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. The Passion Translation, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed to me. There's a nice word. Remember that spirit of revelation and knowledge? The Lord will reveal things to your spirit the same way he revealed things to Jesus' spirit. Verse 47, he that is of God hears God's word. Wait, what? Well, that's the same thing as saying, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, it's possible for you to hear God when he speaks to you. The we says the one who is of God hears the words of God. The GW, the person who belongs to God, understands what God says. We spent a big, long year on Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It says, the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. We read that verse backwards, and it was kind of a bummer, but it really gets the point across. If the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits, then people who don't know God, won't be strong and won't do great exploits. As Hosea says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Not ABCs and 1-2-3s. It's the inability to do what Moses did that day on the battlefield there, backed up to the Red Sea. It's the inability to know him personally, and that takes spiritual development. So we'll say this, spiritually developed people can function spiritually. Now, I've told you, I think you guys need a story. I've told you this story before, but I believe it bears repeating, and trying to pick which story to tell you, because there's a lot of stories where the Lord has talked to me, and I try to use the most recent ones, because back when I was an 18-year-old girl, I barely sensed the Lord when he spoke to me. But I've developed over the years to, I can hear full sentences and understand him and do what he says and get the victory, the born of God victories. I'll tell you two stories. One time we were having an issue with one of our ship's engine. And long story short, we tried the arm of the flesh. We tried mentally to figure out what to do. And then finally one day I was sitting at my desk and I said, Lord, what's wrong with the ship? And just like that, I heard the Spirit of God, not on the outside, not an audible voice. I heard the Spirit of God say, there's water in this area of your engine, but don't worry. I'll help you find a way through and get it back up and running. That's pretty much what it is. Full sentence. I heard that clear as a bell on the inside. There's water in your engine. Don't worry. I'll make a way for you to get it back up and running. And so I called Pastor Arthur sometime later because the time difference. And I was so confident. Do you know the word says that we can have full assurance of faith? And that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, why were you so sure? Well, I know that voice now. I know that's him. I know his voice like I know my mom's voice, like I know my dad's voice. And I was so sure that it was the Lord, I didn't even kind of try to make it sound like maybe, possibly there's water in the engine. I called Arthur, I said, the Lord said, so that's really putting myself on the spot, right? The Lord told me there's water in the engine. Open it up after class, and let's see what we got to do. So sure enough, and your mind thinks, what if you're nuts and there's not water in the engine, right? You know, there's a lot of ways you could have said this. Maybe check and open up the engine and see if there's possibly water in it. That would get you off the hook. But I was so sure that that was the voice of the Lord. I said, the Lord told me that there's water in the engine. And so they opened up the engine. He calls me. Sure enough, Pastor, the Lord was right. It's a born of God answer. And there's water in the engine. Oh, sole. Sekia. Le ai mangaya. No good, huh? That's my broken Samoan. That was a born of God answer, and faith came. Faith came to open up the engine, but also faith came when we got the price tag for the... Oh, my ear fell off. When we got the price tag for the fixing it, it was a big price tag. But the person was there to pay the bill in full. I mean, just whew, easy. Another time I was at a pharmacy, and I went there to pick up a prescription. And they said, well, it's going to take about 30 minutes before the prescription will be ready. And I said, great, I'm going to walk across the parking lot. I'm going to go look at some flowers. And I'll be back in about 30 minutes. So I went, and I went over to a flower store, and I went to buy a flat of petunias, and I reached inside my wallet, and my debit card is gone. And I thought, oh, where's my debit card? And I started to think, and I started to retrace my steps mentally, and then I just went right here, because we see things from God here. And we hear things from God here. There's another level. You're a multi-dimensional person. The word says, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So I have an outward physical man, but I also have an inward spirit man that can receive information from God at a very accurate level. So I went down here. What do you mean you went down here? I paid attention. I looked on the inside. I checked my heart. I acknowledged him in all my ways. I looked to him. I looked inside, because that's where he is. And I heard the Lord say, your debit card is paper clipped to your prescription. You left it on the counter at the pharmacy. And I mean to tell you, right now, guys, I am not backed up to the Red Sea. You understand? This is not a 911. This is just everyday life. And the Lord said, your debit card is paperclip to your prescription bag. And just go over to the pharmacy and get it. So I went over to the pharmacy and I went up to the guy and I said, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. No, that's what weird people do. Do you understand what I mean by that? I told Arthur, because Arthur speaks my language, he can handle me saying, the Lord told me. Other people won't be able to handle that. So I went up to the cashier and I said, did you find a debit card by any chance? And they said, well, the lady that took your prescription is gone to lunch. And I said, oh, okay. And they started looking around physically for it. And I was like, I know where it is. But I sat there. I was cool. I didn't say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, the debit card is paperclip to the prescription bag, and you will find it if you look hither. No, don't do that. That's weird. That will freak people out. You know, you can have a relationship and God talk to you and not be a complete weirdo. Just be cool. Be cool. So they looked for about 5 minutes, and finally I was ready to go, and I said, maybe check the prescription bag. So in this case, I didn't announce that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him was operating on the inside of me, and I already knew where my red debit card was. And so they looked through the bin, they pulled out the name, and sure enough, I saw my red debit card paper-clipped to the prescription bag. Not stapled, not taped. The Lord specifically, I mean details. Is that weird to you? Yes, that's fine. That's, I totally understand. If you've never heard a message like this your whole entire life, you might be thinking, I don't know if I'm ready for this. Well, things go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You may not be there right now, and you may not understand what it means, but God wants to help you down here, and he wants to give you born of God answers. Hebrews 5 and 14. Hebrews 5 and 14. What makes a person spiritual? That's a good question. What do you think makes a person spiritual? They love everybody. They love everybody. And they're so full of joy. And, you know, Galatians 5, I believe it's around the end of that chapter where it says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and faithfulness. What makes a person spiritual? All those things do, yes, indeed. What else makes a person spiritual? Well, when God talks to them, when the Spirit of God talks to their spirit, their inside ears and their inside eyes, they function. The car is not in park, just idling. They've learned to put the car in first gear, and they're rolling along spiritually. God, I heard something from God. God told me something, and I picked it up. I perceived it in my heart. Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. That means they're mature, they're not babies. Even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I like this from the Weymouth translation. It says, but solid food is for adults That is for those who through constant practice have their spiritual faculties carefully trained to distinguish good from evil. Who constant practice, Strong meat is for those who are full age, who through constant practice have their spiritual faculties. What spiritual faculties? Your inside eyes and your inside ears. Have them developed so that you can distinguish and hear and know things. Now, spiritual exercise develops the spirit of a person, right? Physical exercise will develop your body. Will that do anything for my spirit? No. The word says that bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness, spiritual development, is profitable for now and for eternity. So spiritual exercise will develop my spirit. Mental exercise will develop my mind. Read a book, go to school. Physical exercise will develop the physical part of me. What makes a person physically strong and lots of muscle? Physical exercise. What makes a person mentally strong and smarter than anyone else and able to recite the ABCs and the 1-2-3s and rocket science and things like that? Mental exercise. Mental exercise. What makes a person strong on the inside, able to hear the Lord's voice when the Lord talks to them? Spiritual exercise. So, we have some promises, and I'm just going to read through these quick. We've got to close very soon, but I just want to give you some scriptural proof that what we're talking about, the Lord prophesied about in the Old Testament, and he spoke about in the New Testament. From Hebrews 8 and verse 11, I'll just shorten it a bit for the sake of time. It says, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Do you know the Lord? For they all shall know me from the least to the greatest." Not know about me. Know me. Know me from the least to the greatest. Jeremiah 31 and 33, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. In those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." And then it goes on to say the same thing that Hebrews said. They'll all know me from the greatest to the least. Psalms 50 and 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalms 91, 15, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Could you give me an example of that actually happening once in the Bible? Where a man called upon God, and God answered him and delivered him? I can give you a lot. So we can't be blind to that. Moses called upon God, and God spoke to him and delivered him. Joshua was given instructions before the battle what to do. And then after every other battle, I know one of my favorite battles, the Lord said, "I want you to go up to the city and act like you're going to run in. But then when they come out, I want you to run away like scared girls." Yeah. This was a born of God battle plan. And Joshua's got a relationship with God at a level. Then when he needs help, "Okay, Lord, how are we going to take this city? I want you to go up to the front door, knock on it, and run away when they come out." And then have people on the sides planted and laying in wait and draw the whole army out of the city. And when they come out, the guys on the side go in. Ding! Born of God. Born of God. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor me." Honor him. Jeremiah 33 and 3. "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. We've talked a lot about David, and in closing, I want to give you a little more detail about David's story and the story of Ziklag. David had just returned from battle, and this is found in 1 Samuel 30 and 1. Now, this is going to be another born of God plan. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They didn't kill anybody, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Notice they had a human reaction, but then faith has to start somewhere, right? They got their cry out, and David was greatly distressed, verse 6, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But notice it doesn't say the wives. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord. He asked God, what do I do? Saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. Who answered him? Was it 3 years later? Was it 3 days later? No, it sounds pretty immediate. And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. The BBE says, and David questioned the Lord and said, am I to go after this band? Will I be able to overtake them? And in answer, he said, go after them, for you will certainly overtake them and get back everything. The Message Bible, David prayed to God, shall I go after these raiders? Can I catch them? The answer came, go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. Yes, you'll make the rescue. I want to stop right here. Why is this story written? Is it so we can go, wow, God really loved David? This story is written so that you would know, that our God is the same. And when we ask him what to do and if we should go, he will answer us right away. These stories are written so that we know the way God answered them, the way God came through for them, is the same way God will come through for us. Thank you. On their way there, we'll skip down to verse 16. They picked up an Egyptian slave. So the army had dropped off an Egyptian slave. They'd left him there to die. He was sick. And he hadn't eaten for 3 days and three nights. And they gave him something to eat, and it says his spirit revived. And they said, where'd the army go? And he said, as long as you don't kill me, I'll take you right to him. And as long as you don't give me back to the master that I was serving, I'll take you right to their front door. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. So they were completely drunk, wasted, and laying around dancing and partying. And David's army found them in this condition. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. So David took them and killed every single one of them except 400 young men escaped on camels all night long. Have you heard that Lionel Richie song? All night long, he smote them. He got back his wives. He got back his children. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small or great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoiled or anything that had taken. They had taken. David recovered all. In addition, verse 20. Now this is the more than conquering part. David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle, and this was David's spoil. So they took all the stuff they had gotten from all the battles that they had won, and they more than conquered. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we notice, how did David win this battle? How did David know what to do? He could function spiritually. He could hear God when God spoke back to him. Seeing and hearing in the spirit the plans and the directions that God will give you to win your battles. The same way he gave David specific instructions to win his battles, he'll give you specific instructions to win your battles today. But that requires you to operate spiritually. Why don't you stand with me? Praise and worship team, why don't you come? Mark 4 and 23 says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. So we said that physical exercise will develop you physically. Intellectual exercise will develop you mentally. But spiritual exercise will develop you spiritually. So we need, if we want to come up levels in this, what we're talking about tonight, maybe you say tonight, Pastor, I pray and God never speaks to me. No, he's speaking. He is speaking. The word says when we call upon him, he does answer. The word says that in our dispensation, we can come boldly into the throne of grace and to receive help in the time of need, not when it's too late. We can receive immediate help, immediate answers, immediate solutions. But what's the issue? I can't hear God with my heart. I can't hear him say, it's like he's not talking to me. No, I want to encourage you. He is talking to you. But it's almost like this. Have you ever been in your car and the radio is on, but your volume is turned so low that you don't know the radio is on? Well, your spirit is on. The radio is on. There's a connection. But what we need to do, develop our spirits. And as we develop our spirits, that helps us turn the volume up on God's voice. So that will mean turning the volume down on the voice of our flesh, turning the volume down on the voice of our mind, turning the volume down on the voice of everyone else that thinks they know what we should do, and turning the volume up on the voice of our spirit. That's where God will speak to us. So read your Bible. This is a spiritual book, and it will feed your spirit. Spirit feeds spirit. Seek him. One of the things I do every morning is I get up, and for about 30 minutes, I'll just listen in my heart. I won't be reading my Bible. I won't be moving my mouth, but I'll just listen in my heart. I'll just listen in my heart. That's spending time with him. That's me drawing near to God. And when we do that, draw near to me, I will draw near to you. I give him a chance to talk to me. I give him a chance to tell me things. I read my word and pray in other tongues. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you do speak with other tongues, speak in tongues. Don't be annoying to other people. But speak in tongues as much as you can in private, in your prayer language. And what does that do? That develops your human spirit to the place that when God does talk to you, you can hear him at a better level. Praying in tongues is one of the fastest ways to turn the volume up on God's voice in your life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, as we taught tonight, I hope that the eyes of our understanding were open. I hope that we see that there's access that we have to God the Father by one Spirit. And it's good to understand that if we are going to have a relationship with God, it's going to be on God's level, and he's a Spirit. So, Father, tonight, continue to increase us. Now, we haven't spoken much about the great thing that Christ has done for us by coming to earth and becoming flesh and dying for us and making it possible for us to have this relationship with God while we walk the earth, making it possible to receive born of God answers in our days of trouble, making it possible to be more than conquerors. Moses was more than a conqueror because God told him what to do and he was able to hear it. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm not even with God. I don't have a relationship with God. I've never accepted him. Won't you pray this prayer with me? Say, Father God, I believe in you. And I believe you sent Jesus to die for me so I could come back to your family. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior tonight. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me new. I will serve you forever, Lord. Amen. Well, the word says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Is there anyone here tonight that was the first time you prayed that prayer? Can you just slip your hand up and show us? I know we're very shy here. Anyone you prayed that for the first time? I see that hand. Welcome to the family of God. Things are going to get better and better for you. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? You've accepted the Lord for the first time tonight? Or maybe you rededicated your life tonight? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, we don't like to make world record services in terms of time. We value your time. We know everyone's probably ready to head home. But I have it in my heart, if anyone's here tonight and you'd like to have hands laid on you for healing, I believe in the power of God. And if you would like to quickly come and we'll pray the prayer of faith over you, if you believe that God will heal you tonight, I invite you to step out into the aisle and quickly come up. God has a supply for you. Thank you, Lord. I believe, I believe, I believe in the power of God. I believe, I believe, I believe in the power of God. Let's sing that. I believe, I believe, I believe in the power of God. I believe, I believe, I believe in the power of God. Keep singing that. I believe. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, We thank you for health and strength for all the days of her life. Be healed, be strong, and be well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, we thank you for your healing power that goes into her and stays with her. Mighty river, in Jesus' name. Be healed, be strong, be free. And I speak health and strength over you for the rest of your life. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for her daughters, in Jesus' name, that the healing power of God would go into them right now and effect a healing and a cure. Thank you, Father. We call it done by faith, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
I believe in the power of God. I believe. I believe in the power of God.
Thank you, Father. Lord, you're trying to get us somewhere, and you're trying to get us to a place of victory. And we can't do that if we're ignorant of how to win and how you come to us and show us how to win. So, Father, we pray that you continue to bring us up to the highest level possible for a human being with a relationship with you, with right standing with you that causes faith in you to be possible, power from you, and authority here on this earth. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for coming. We'll be here again next Friday. Please join us in the cantina if you've got some time. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. God bless you all.